KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 48 degrees in Atlantic. We look for isolated showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon, a high of 73. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A former candidate to fill the Iowa Senate seat vacated by Joni Ernst has been sentenced to jail. According to the Daily Nonpareil, 69-year-old Donald Brantz of Glenwood was sentenced Thursday to serve 5 days in jail for disturbing the peace in Sarpy County, Nebraska. He was given 1 day for time already served. Brantz was originally charged with third-degree sexual assault, third-degree assault, disturbing the peace, and interfering with a public service company. After he pleaded no contest to disturbing the peace, Sarpy County prosecutors dropped the other charges. According to court documents, the charges against Brant stem from an incident on October 10, 2014 in Bellevue, Nebraska. Prosecutors allege that Brant inappropriately touched an adult victim and threatened to choke her. When the victim called 911, prosecutors said Brant disconnected the phone line. Brant, a libertarian and former Mills County board member, was on the ballot in a special election December 30th against two other candidates to fill Joni Ernst's District 12 seat. Deputies in Montgomery County Thursday arrested 36-year-old Cale Allen Wenberg of Red Oak. Wenberg was taken into custody at around 4:45 p.m. in the 400 block of West Washington Street on a warrant for a probation violation. Wenberg was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. And the Red Oak Police Department reports 25-year-old Jessica Faye Davis of Red Oak was arrested at around 3:30 this morning. Davis was taken into custody near the intersection of North 1st and East Hammond Streets. She was brought from Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond for an OWI charge. A Southwest Iowa man was arrested on kidnapping and other charges following an incident that occurred Wednesday evening in Page County. Authorities said Thursday, 26-year-old Sean Michael Savala of Newmarket faces charges that include second-degree kidnapping, first-degree harassment, and assault with a dangerous weapon. His arrest was followed by a report to authorities that Lacey Malson of Page County was being held against her will in a vehicle driven by Savala. A knife was allegedly used during the incident. Malson was later found safe in Clarinda. Savala was located and taken into custody without incident in Taylor County with the assistance of the Taylor County Sheriff's Office. He was being held in the Page County Jail on $25,000 cash bond. Sheriff's officials in Union County say a Madison County man was arrested Wednesday night at the Union County Jail. 31-year-old Joshua James Coder of Winterset was arrested on a Department of Corrections warrant for probation violation. Coder was being held in the Union County Jail without bond until an appearance before the magistrate. Google Incorporated wants to expand its Council Bluffs data center, spending an additional $1 billion and doubling the size of its staff to 70. The California company is asking the state for an additional $19.8 million in tax refunds, bringing its total tax incentives to more than $36 million. Google received nearly $17 million in tax incentives to build the first phase of its data center in exchange for a promise to employ 35 people. The company's total investment in Iowa will come to around $2 billion. The Iowa Economic Development Authority is set to consider the project expansion sometime today. Microsoft, meanwhile, is spending about $2 billion to build two data centers in West Des Moines, and Facebook has invested about $1 billion in two Altoona data centers. The Hard Rock Casino in Sioux City agreed to a $5,000 fine Thursday from the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission for its second gambling violation in as many months. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission Administrator Brian Orielko says the violation involved a person who had agreed to a self-ban.
An individual that had signed up on the statewide list in 2007. That individual was able to obtain a Players Club card at the Hard Rock facility, and so that was the triggering factor for the violation.
The fine was based on the casino's history of violations.
The violation was one that was self-reported by Hard Rock. It is their second violation of this nature within the past 365 days, which past precedent called for a $5,000 fine. That's what the parties agreed to, and the commission did approve that stipulation.
Orielko says the violation comes just 1 month after the casino was fined $3,000 at the commission's March meeting.
The first incident occurred a few months prior to this, and the parties, Hard Rock and commission staff, entered into a stipulated agreement at that time.
The casino has only been open since August of last year. Orico says management has been doing some retraining of staff following the violations.
They've implemented additional procedures and controls to help prevent this. They do have a number of new employees with the new facility. However, it doesn't change our expectations, and and Hard Rock Management recognizes that and has indicated that they're going to try to address it.
The person in the first violation was able to gamble and was not caught until he tried to cash in the jackpot and his name turned up on a banned list. The economic outlook for rural areas of 10 states in the Plains and West remained negative in April, even though it improved slightly from the previous month. Creighton University's Rural Main Street Index grew to 46 in April from March's 43.6, but any score below 50 still suggests a decline. The indexes range from 0 to 100. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss says the strong U.S. dollar continues to hurt exports of agriculture and energy products, and demand for farmland remains weak, so land prices are declining. The Farm Equipment Sales Index sits at 15.6, up slightly from March's 15.2, but well below the neutral level of 50. Well, spring in Iowa's time for new beginnings as trees, plants, and yards awaken from the cold of winter. It's also a time when many Iowans make plans to begin a new chapter in their lives by purchasing a home. USDA Rural Development currently has $10 million available for loans for Iowans to purchase or refinance homes in rural Iowa through its Direct Home Loan Program. The program offers 100% financing, a 33-year loan term, and payment assistance for eligible applicants. The funding will remain on a first-come, first-served basis through September 30th of this year. Bill Minner, USDA Rural Development State Director in Iowa, said each year USDA Rural Development invests more than $200 million in loans and grants that provide rural Iowa residents with decent, safe, and sanitary housing. It's through housing programs at this one, Minner says, that we work to ensure that many rural Iowans as possible have adequate housing access. Recently, a rural Iowa family of seven was living in a rental property that was not suitable for occupancy. They made an offer on a home that was move-in ready. USDA Rural Development received their purchase agreement on March 19th. Their loan closed, and the family moved into their new home just 19 days later on April 7th. The family is ecstatic with their improved living conditions, and their house payment is $80 less than they were paying for rent. To learn more about USDA's Rural Development housing programs, you can call 515-284-4444 or visit one of their 11 offices around the state, including one here in Atlantic. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says he cannot comment on the lawsuit alleging boards of supervisors in three northwest Iowa counties failed to manage ag drainage districts that contaminated central Iowa's drinking water supply.
But it is appropriate for me to talk about conservation and the role of USDA in all of this. And I think what might surprise many Iowans is how much conservation is actually taking place today in Iowa.
Since January of 2011, the USDA has awarded over $2.2 billion to Iowa farmers to help finance conservation projects to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus runoff into rivers and streams.
The reality is that this is a very complicated situation. It's going to take time, but I am absolutely convinced that people are committed to better soil health and better water quality.
Vilsack suggests the federal government is doing its part to stimulate conservation measures on Iowa farmland, but that state government could and should be more aggressive in its support of water quality initiatives. Vilsack suggests something similar to the Vision Iowa program he initiated 15 years ago when he was governor.
Let me just make a suggestion to our friends in the legislature and the governor. We did a great thing with Vision Iowa. We took gaming revenues and we put them on the table, and we said to communities across the state, what would you do if you had this money available to spur economic opportunity, tourism, attractions, whatever? And people responded, and we saw the landscape of this state change. I think it's time that we do that with water. There's no reason why we can't do something similar to that, and then that could leverage significantly greater sums from the federal government.
Vilsack points to the Republican governor of Michigan, who has committed $45 million in state money for a single water conservation project. He made his comments during a taping of the Iowa Press program, which airs later tonight on the Iowa Public Television Network. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.